Okay, it is March 12th, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Our regular scheduled assembly meeting. Roll call, please.
Glenn.
Here.
Brenda.
Here.
Paul.
Yes.
Warren.
Here.
Ian.
Here.
Chris.
Here.
Anton.
Here.
Tom.
Here.
Jofi asked to be excused. We have a phone.
Okay, thank you. We need a motion to adopt the agenda.
Move, Warren.
Thank you, Warren. Thank you. Anybody see any corrections needed for the agenda? Hearing none. There's no objections. The agenda will stand as written. Before we go to public comments, we should do the, who's in King Cove office?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck, where's Assembly Members Warren and Brenda, then myself, Jackie, and Seward.
Okay, thank you. Cole Bay? Nelson Lagoon?
Cole Bay is
just me, Sam.
Thank you.
Well, we have Laura, or...
False pass.
Tom, Nicole, and Carlene.
Thank you. Sandpoint? Is there nobody on there? Right? That's Sandpoint, they never show up. Actown.
Sandpoint.
And Anchorage.
No more.
There's myself, Annie, Glenora, Beverly, Mayor Osterbeck, Jim, Ernie, Paul, Chris, Glenn, Charlotte, and Joy Mariner.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we have any public comments on agenda item? Hearing none. Anyone feel they may have a conflict of interest on any agenda item?
Oh, this is Sam. Oh. I don't know if it would count, but I'm on the council here in Nelson Lagoon for Resolution 2639. I don't know if that would be a conflict of interest.
I'd go directly in your pockets.
No. No, that, you're okay. Fine. Thank you, though.
Where?
No. Well,
when we get to the executive session, kind of lots of conflicts there, but something to think about when we get to it. I don't know what we, or other meeting at some executive session happens in clutter or not. Anyway, I'm just thinking out loud about it. Thinking ahead for a couple minutes from now.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we have a presentation, audit presentation by EDO. You want to introduce yourself and you can take over.
Certainly can. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Joy Mariner, I serve as the second partner on your audit, and I used to be the primary auditor for the borough years ago, but now I actually am the secondary reviewer. It was actually a pretty big year, although this will seem like a fairly boring audit report because a big year, but your team really handled everything very well. So we won't have a whole lot to cover in terms of findings or changes, that kind of thing, but there were some new standards that were implemented this year and some big federal money coming through the borough. So a lot of work to get done. And so let's just move right into the audit results. And if you can flip to page 7. We completed the audit. It was issued last week. And really no big changes to the way we planned our audit. We follow auditing standards. And I always like to remind everyone that our audit standards are designed to provide reasonable assurance, not absolute assurance. So we're looking for things that could cause material misstatement in the financials. That number can be different depending on what we're looking at. If we had found a dollar of fraud, we'd be calling you, Mr. Mayor, and telling you about it right away. So in that case, you know, there's really no materiality. But certain things like accrual accounting, or we could get a late invoice if it's for a small dollar amount, your team might not go back just administratively and accrue for it, things like that. We're looking for things that would cause you as the assembly to make an incorrect decision about the borough. And so again, that can just depend on which accounts we're looking at. We did issue an unmodified opinion on the financials. That's the third bullet point. The unmodified opinion is a clean opinion. It says that we believe that the financial statements present fairly in all material respects your financial position, and it's what you as the assembly would want to see. The fourth bullet point, I just want to point out, we also issued an unmodified opinion on your single audit reports, on your schedule of expenditures of federal awards, and you had a state schedule of financial assistance. So your audit is actually four audits because we follow regular auditing standards. We call those generally accepted. We also follow government auditing standards, and then the federal single audit is uniform guidance, and the state single audit as well. So a lot of work for your team, a lot of work for ours, but you can see in that last bullet point, everything we needed, your team gave us. Always a pleasure to work with them. Very responsive to all of our questions. Let's touch base two more slides later, just areas of significant risk, the things that we looked at more closely this year. That doesn't mean we didn't look at other areas. We always, for example, send a cash confirmation or a debt confirmation. We look at different things in the file. But these three areas were the three areas that were of greater risk. So we look a little bit more closely at your grant revenue. Was it recognized in the correct period? Are there underlying expenses to support those? IT, because you have a small team doing a lot of work in the IT system itself and the accounting system, we look at segregation of duties. And that's really just looking at when things get moved from where they were initially coded. Were they moved correctly? Were there any concerns with that? And that's really what that last one is called, that management override. So if somebody chooses to change the coding or book an entry that changes the financial statements, we're going to look more closely at those. The next slide, you notice we had no corrected or uncorrected misstatements this year, so no journal entries. We do assist the borough with recording certain types of transactions, for example, your pension, your PERS amounts at the end of the year, but we don't consider those to be audit adjustments. Rather, we help with that as we assist with drafting the statements. And then the last item in the wrap-up I want to cover is related to internal controls. So internal controls are a really important thing to have. An auditor is an external control. Internal controls are things here at the borough to make sure that the financial statements are correct. So bank reconciliation is a good control, review of the general ledger. Your meetings here, and I love seeing all the people online too. The fact that you're meeting regularly and looking at financial information as an assembly is a very important key control to the borough. So we are required to understand what the controls are in place. And then we actually make sure that they were implemented during the year. As we look at the design of them, are they properly designed and were they implemented during the year? No exceptions to any of that testing or evaluation. We do report to you every year this IT deficiency, and that's just because you do have three people who have administrative level access, and that's actually on the next slide, to your accounting system. This is pretty common at our clients. Most of our clients have some level of what we call super users. They're usually not just super people, but they also super access into the system. And that's largely the case when you have smaller teams. You don't have a very large IT department who can manage those changes. It essentially allows your team to go in and add users, delete users, change user access. The only way to really get around this is to have maybe more staff, and I'm not sure you want to add more FTEs or put IT controls in place on somebody else who can manage that for you. So
we only have one for us.
Yeah, please.
All the wires are super people.
Yes, I'll put that in there next time. All this just means is that there's an IT risk there. In the system, they could do this, right? They can set up a new user. We didn't find any evidence that that was done. And then we do look at the what we call compensating controls, so the other controls that are put on top of those. So, for example, journal entry review is done and documented. Even though someone could, in theory, go in and post a journal entry without review, that's not being done. It's actually being reviewed. It's just not just the capability is there in the system. So we always just like to make sure everybody knows that. Specifically, if you have turnover in your accounting department or a lot of turnover, multiple people, that's when you need to look at who has access and are they having the right level of access to your systems. You know, otherwise, I mean, and I did mention before, but in terms of compliance, we also look at that, you know, how do you comply with your grants? Not just did you comply, but how do you comply? And we'd report to you if we identified anything where you didn't have good controls over your compliance. On the compliance side, we actually have to test those controls, not just make sure they were implemented. We actually have to test their operation throughout the year. So we test payroll controls, we test purchasing controls, all sorts of reporting controls, and nothing to report there. In fact, we did not have any findings this year in either the financial statement side or the single audit side. I will just say, and this is really the last thing I wanted to go through on the, maybe actually, can we go two more slides on the wrap up? I want to just point out that there are some estimates in your statements. We'll look at the statements at a very high level. I know I don't want to take too much of your time on a beautiful day. But I want to point out one thing here that you did adopt a new statement this year, GASB 101. So it's a new accounting standard that requires you to evaluate your accrued compensation. We call it compensated absences. It's accrued leave, accrued sick leave, those types of things. And it did result in a small dollar change for both you and the district during the year that was added to the financial statements. Otherwise, really the rest of this document just outlines if we had difficulties, disagreements, problems with the audit, any significant unusual transactions or related parties, nothing like that this year. Things were a lot going on, but not any issues with the process. And I do just want to point out on the single audit that we did audit three major programs this year. So we had a lot of auditing to do on the single audit side. On the federal side, we audited the last of the ARPA money, the LATC money, the Local Assistance and Tribal Consistency Fund. And then we also audited the Port Infrastructure Development Program and congressional directives under Department of Health and Human Services. So there was three major programs on the federal side we had to audit this year. And on the state side, I think it was just those. On the state side, we audited there were two. The School District Debt Retirement Program, which is a fairly limited one to audit, I'm glad that they kicked that back in and you're getting debt reimbursement again. But also the Harbor Facility Grant Program and the bond reimbursement. The Harbor Facilities Program was audited for the state side of things too. So you had two state and three federal major programs, so five total programs we had to audit for compliance. I just want to say thank you to your team. What that usually means is we're testing samples of payroll, non-payroll reporting, sometimes journal entries for every single one of those. So that's, you know, 4 to 5 samples for each one of those 5 programs. So that's a lot of documentation that they have to pull. And none of it came back with any problems. So congratulations.
Got it. There you go.
Yeah, that's all them.
Good job.
Do you like me to cover some highlights on the financial statements as well?
Sure, you could.
Could you pull up that other document? Basic financials, and I'm only going to cover a few very exciting highlights. Everybody loves financials except me. Maybe the other way around. Hey, take your time. Perfect. This is the draft version. Yeah, there weren't any changes. Yeah. Okay, can you go to page 6, which keep going a little bit. So statement of net position at the very top. There you go. So the statement of net position is going to show you at June 30th what you had in assets and liabilities, and then what's left over we call net position. So assets are things that you own. The borough's total assets here, $155 million. Actually, if you can go down just a little bit more, you can see there's also these deferred in outflows. But $155.6 million in assets and deferred outflows for the borough, another $8 million over at the school district. Most of your assets are held in either cash and investments or capital assets. So capital assets are, some of them are buildings. There's going to be land in there. There's going to be construction going on. There's equipment, all of that. And so, you know, that that's not really accessible to you. It's not as if you can turn around and spend it. And then from a cash perspective, total cash, we'll look at the breakout of total cash. But a lot of that is also restricted, I think, in the permanent fund. You have 49.7 at the end of the year. So there's a significant portion of that $88 million that's restricted for permanent fund usage. So when you look at the total assets, though, you can see the breakout of those. You also have some restricted cash for unspent bond proceeds and a little bit of receivables. Under liabilities, things you owe to others on the next page, you can see the total amounts that you have outstanding on your bonds, $2.2 million due in the next year. Overall, though, you know, really you're under $10 million now in your bonds payable, which is really a great achievement with all the things that you've been doing. And then I'll just point out the net pension liability of $1.5 million at the end of the year. The schools is $3.3. You can't pay that off. It's just there until there's no longer anybody in the pension plan. So it'll take a little time before that gets totally paid down. If we look at go down a couple more pages to page 9, this is going to show you the same sort of information, except on a fund level basis. So you can see the general fund separate from the permanent fund. And if you go to the bottom of this page, you can see the fund balances for these funds. The general fund is the far left column, and then the permanent fund next to it. You can see the total there, general fund balance of almost $29 million, really. And then the permanent fund has $51 million in the restricted in the trust fund, and then another $9.9 million of earnings that is not restricted at the end of the year. $28 million in the general fund there, you know, total expenditures every year on the general fund, not including transfers. So this is just general fund activities. Total expenditures are about $4.4 million. And then in 2025, you also transferred another $6.5 million or so for operations and capital outside to other funds. So either subsidies or capital investments that you made. So when you look at the total amount of unassigned fund balance, you know, you do have, it depends on which number you're using for the, you know, evaluation, but you do have a healthy position in terms of sustainability. So let's look now on two more pages down is the governmental funds changes. So this is going to show you all the activity for the year. Ins are the revenues, going money going out are expenditures. And you can see total general fund revenue of $9.5 million, expenditures of $4.4, and then transfers out. So overall, the general fund is showing a decrease, but that was intentional. You transferred that money out to cover costs for debt service, as well as capital projects and other types of investments. Overall, the permanent fund, you can see increased by $4.9 million, a lot of investment income in 2025, some of which has evaporated because of unrealized gains. I love that number. I also don't necessarily trust it because it can fluctuate with the market or should fluctuate with the market. So this is just, remember, based on a point in time on June 30th, what the results have been for that year. And then total capital outlay this year of $10 million. Based on your estimates, and I'll just point out that you had depreciation of about $2.6 million on your governmental assets, which means you're investing more in your governmental assets, in your infrastructure, than you used during the year in the governmental world. So I like seeing that investment in capital. I think that's a good plan for long-term sustainability. And then you can also see principal there, that $2 million you paid off on your bonds, and about $476,000 of interest as well. I'll take one more page because I know this is the most exciting part of your year. But if you can go down three more pages to C2, right there, perfect. So the proprietary funds, this is showing you the same information, income, revenue, and expenses for the proprietary funds. Total revenue about $600,000, operating expenses of $1.8. Keep in mind that the depreciation number is not a cash outflow, but overall, these two enterprise funds are operating at a loss for the year before the transfers that came in. So with the transfers, the terminal ends up being about a wash, the negative $25,000, and the helicopter being at a loss of about $900,000. Right now, the helicopter fund is the only one that actually has a net deficit at the very bottom. The helicopter fund actually is in the red overall. So just something to think about. And I'm not privy to all your plans for that fund. But at this point, because largely of this year's activities, you are in a deficit position in the helicopter fund. And then I'm not going to go through the rest of the statements. They're very exciting and they have a lot of information in them if you ever want to refer to them. I always like to remind people this is one of the things that stays in the record for usually the life of your bonds, at least, and probably sometimes in somebody's drawer longer than that. But it is a really good reference document. So if you ever wanted to go back and say, for example, look at, well, what is the, you know, the budget for, I'm just going to not pick on finance because I've been picked on enough during the audit. So what's the budget for public work salaries? It has that information in the back. You can refer back to the statements in the back of the package for a little more information if you need it. And then the notes to the statements are also in here if you wanted to find out, for example, what you're invested in or what kind of capital assets you have. That detail is all handled in here. There's also like 12 pages of pension information if you want to know more than you ever wanted to know about the PERS system. It's in your statements. So just encourage you to use this as a reference tool throughout your year. And you know, certainly has a lot of good information for your financial results that may be worth revisiting if you do have a question. And with that, I just want to thank your team again. Great job. Congratulations. And I am happy to answer any other questions that anybody has, even online.
Any questions from Jackie or anybody out there?
That piece, she don't
do this.
Oh, this one.
How about in here, Paul?
Hey, I kind of forgot, you know, one of the reasons our audit date slipped back a little bit was the approval of one particular project, Corps of Engineers update. Can you refresh us on how that got resolved?
I'm going to put this one over there.
That was last year's audit. That was last year's audit. That was FY24's audit that we did that. This year was this year's issue, Jackie, that we had to solve. Oh, yeah, that was last year's. It was resolved with the ownership, and we had to just adjust our capital asset schedule to reflect the proper dollar amounts for the ownership of the harbor and the Accutan Harbor, I think it was. But this year, we didn't really have any issues to resolve, and there wasn't really a delay. It was just a lot of work with the amount of grants that they chose to audit in the federal and the single audit. So we shouldn't have to go back to that capital asset schedule and fix anything this year, as we've paid off the debt that was due on that Accutan Harbor.
Thank you.
Yeah, and the federal government requires a program that if it's new, over a certain threshold, requires it to be audited. Or if it hasn't been audited in one of the last 2 years, it has to get audited as well. And so I think just perfect storm this year. All of these programs came up, and it's pretty rare to have five programs needing to be audited for compliance.
But it all came up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No other questions? Nice. That was good. And congratulations, they still never found your payment account.
And this has already been submitted to the, have you signed off on the data collection form? I think we're close on that.
I think so.
Yeah, so I mean, this always already gets submitted to the White House, and you're within the timeline of requirements for the grant reporting. So, all buttoned up and ready to go.
Yeah.
Nice.
Thank now it's on to the next year.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's only 3 months away. Hard to think about. But Vicky sends his regards and said he can't be here with you. And George, too. They're both gone this week.
Oh.
Spring break week. And yeah. George has recently married a school teacher, so this is his only week he's allowed to go anywhere. I said, that's okay. I don't mind. I like coming up here. So I'm happy to be with you today, and thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Enjoy your meeting. Have your chair back.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Well, lots of hard work. I guess the first one came totally clean. That's amazing. Very good, Jackie. Nice, good work there, you and your staff. And Amy.
Thank you.
Okay. We are on to, I need a motion for the February 12th minutes.
I make a motion.
I'll second Glenn.
Has anybody seen any corrections needed in the minutes? All that time to look at them. If not, if there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. So we're down to financials. Finance director's report. Jackie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. So you guys just got your presentation on FY25 audit. I'm so happy that that has been wrapped up and finished prior to the deadline, because that was one of their findings last year, was being late past the March 31st deadline. I'm super excited that there was zero findings. It was a lot of work. They did audit 5 out of 7 of our grants, so it was pretty extensive. This was the first year we were in Cassell, too, and I think that really made a big difference in how smooth everything went, and I'm happy about that. We're already starting work for FY26. I've set the timeline down. We've got our tasks already updated so that once the year end rolls around, we all know what's going to be done and when it's going to be done by, so that we can go just as smooth in the coming year as well. And then I have one meeting date set for next week to just make sure that our FY25 balances align with the audit balances right now, so that we don't have to go back and try to look at beginning balances in a longer time frame from now, because it's kind of difficult if you got to go back into FY24 when you're in FY25 trying to close FY26. It's just gets complicated. So I want to lock those numbers down now and make sure that we are good to go. This past month, I've been doing a lot of work on retention. I've been getting all of my audit documents off of my computer and saved into the Laserfish. I could make room for all the new FY26 ones that are going to be starting to pile up here in the next couple of months. For the financial policies and procedures, there was not much work done actually writing policy. I just worked on creating the slides for the planning meeting that I did not get to attend this year because of the weather. But I am happy to say that by the end of this planning cycle, we should have all our financial policies and procedures in place in one document, which will be really helpful and useful in the years to come. Starting to fill out my budget papers for the budget process. That's coming up pretty quick. I'm updating some of the workbooks for the payroll and the fringe. With the PERS estimate, I'm trying to combine them into one workbook that kind of has everything we need in one spot, because it's a lot looking back throughout the years for individual things. Seward started working on analyzing our current year utility costs so that we know what we're looking at when we start to estimate next year's budget. The routine tasks for February have been completed, except for waiting for the last of receivable data. We did get the last of our accounts payable entries ready to go, but when I had written this, it hadn't been ready yet. I can't see that. Oh, and I did also work on the updating the liquidity analysis and putting financial figures from our freshly finished audit into that data. And I'm starting to work on the one that's kind of similar to the liquidity analysis we got from Alaska Permanent Capital, but I wanted to do something that could be updated with monthly data versus annual data, just to see if it provides useful information, because the annual data is really aggregated and it gives us a good picture overall, but it would be nice to be able to do it on a month-to-month basis or a shorter time frame with basically just cash data, just to see if we are in good position with our cash flow. Other than that, everything's been going pretty good. Let me know if you have any questions.
Thank you, Jackie. Questions, anyone? Okay, very good. So we need a motion and a second to bring the January financials to the floor.
This is Brenda. I'll make a motion to bring the financials to the floor, January financials, 2026.
Thank you.
And Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Annie.
Yes, Mayor Sprague and Assembly, in the packet are the January 2026 financials. Just two items to point out, of course, on the first page is the first one is the AAV raw fish tax, which is 10,004,000. Just to show that $163,000 was received in January, which is about 79.6% of the five-year average and 62.9% of the 10-year average. So we're still below, but it's looking a little better than the other months. And we did officially exceed our $1.6 million guess estimate that we did when the budget was originally approved. So I'm really excited about that, and we'll see what happens over the next couple of months. The other one is interest revenue, which is 10,004,100, just to show that we're still getting interest revenue. But as pointed out earlier during the financial workshop, the interest rates, in particular for the Amlet Point One, are decreasing. It's about 3.59%. opposed to the 4 or 5% we were getting in prior months. So that number will be getting to decrease, I would anticipate, over the next couple of months. As far as expenditures go, we're about 58.3% into the fiscal year. I think everything's tracking along, in my opinion, as it should. There's nothing in here that stands out. I mean, there might be something that's at 100%, but it's simply because we might have paid the audit fees in full already. So that would hit the 100% mark for that line item. But other than that, I don't have any other comments unless there's any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for Annie? Well,
we kind of follow up. You were discussing revenue.
Mm-hmm.
First, this is through the end of January. And this is our, just to repeat what most people know, I keep forgetting that we're on Casell now.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yes.
So this Casell format, I'm still not that much different than what we did before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting more comfortable with it. That's what kind of why I wanted to ask the question. When you highlighted the thing I wanted to talk about the baby fish bags. And that's all I'm just going to talk about. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions for Annie? Okay. Question on the motion.
Chris?
Yes.
Dean?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Nathan?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Thank you,
Sandy. Okay, thank you. And your investment report is in your packet. And you probably don't need to review it after today. So we're down to item 9.
Are we?
Yes.
Usually, Annie has like today's.
I don't have that. I've been a little busy. Sorry.
I'm guessing it's down. But all right. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't have a chance.
Don't seem to be rushing.
Okay. So we are down to where we're going to do an executive session, and then when we get done with that, we'll come back in and do a report on the executive session. And then we've got like half a dozen resolutions to go through and some old business and new business. So
Lenore, the only ones that can be in the executive session on this list are the ones that are physically here, correct?
Here and then in the King Cove office.
Okay.
You need to make the motion to go in.
Yeah. I make a motion that we move to executive session to discuss with attorney matters, which by law, municipal charters, all of the things are required to be confidential, potential litigation, and attorney-client privileges, as stated in Alaska Statute 44.62.310, parentheses C, parentheses 3.
Okay.
We're on the motion, but clarification.
But
with an attorney,
we won't have an attorney. But
for that part.
So I would just move it to may move to enter an executive session to discuss.
To discuss.
Yeah.
Where we're going to go for that,
and then follow. We seem to have two things that might have come up in general on this one, which legal strategy, but we were talking about public relations. So that also under this, and I don't know if that's in public relations, isn't, I don't think that's necessarily legal strategy.
It's strategy, though. Pardon? It's strategy. I would consider it strategy, which would be part of it.
Okay. Yeah, so that we can okay, so those that'll be in attendance is Mayor Osterbeck, Assembly Members, me, Chris Babcock, Ben Gardner, Paul Granholt, Jim Smith, Warren Wilson, Brenda Wilson, and then the borough staff, which will be Ann Bailey, Bernie Weiss, Charlotte Levy, Lenora Dushkin, Beverly Rosette, Jackie Brandle, and Seward Brandle. Okay.
If everybody can stay on their teams, except for the City of King Cove, not the City of King Cove, sorry, the King Cove office, if you guys want to leave, I'll also leave from the Anchorage office and start a new meeting with just your office, if that makes sense.
And the other ones can just stay on.
But yeah, the others can just stay on so you don't have to rejoin later.
It's not the vote on it.
Okay. Well, that's fine. There's no other question.
All the question.
Okay. Question has been called on the motion.
Warren?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Martha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, we are going into executive session at this time.
How do you
have to vote?
I don't think so. Do you vote? Coming out of the executive session.
Everybody back on now?
Everybody back. We're back.
Looks like it.
Okay, so to clarify, the vote that we're voting on is to come out of the executive session.
No action.
With nothing, with no action taken.
Yeah.
Correct.
Bruce?
Yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Warren.
Yes.
Nicole. Paul. Brenda. Yes. Glenn.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. We will take a 5-minute break. Guys drank too much water at this table.
5 minutes.
So, okay. We are back from our little break on record. And before us, we have 6 resolutions. The first one, resolution 2639. Annie.
Motion.
Oh, you want a motion too? You guys fund everything today.
I'll make a motion for bringing that resolution to the table.
I'll second, Glenn.
Okay. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly, before you use resolution 2639, approving certain unincorporated communities in their respective Native Village Council and or incorporated nonprofit entity for participation in the FY27 Community Assistance Program. This is something that's pretty standard. We do this every single year, but essentially this resolution needs to be passed so we can transfer the community assistance monies to the to Nelson Lagoon. So that's really all I have, is just standard procedure, and this has to be passed or we can't pass through their money.
Questions been called? Any wait first. Any comments? Okay. Questions been called?
Glenn?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us is resolution 2640. We need a motion and a second.
Make a motion. We bring that resolution to the floor for discussion.
Okay.
Brenda, second.
Thank you, Brenda. Annie?
Ernie, go ahead.
Oh.
Mayor and Assembly, so there are three seats open or ready for reappointment on the Board of Fish. Only one member that we know of, well, the other two do not want their seats back. That would be Jared Godfrey and Greg Svensson. But Mike Wood is interested in this seat, and he's supported us and is a good member. And this resolution would recommend him for reappointment and further for the legislature to confirm his reappointment.
Any comments on the motion? Hearing none.
Question
on the motion?
Bonk?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Abstain.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. Okay, before us we have resolution 2641. We need a motion and a second to bring to the floor.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda.
Jill, second, Glenn.
Thanks, Glenn. Annie?
I'm just going to read the title and then we'll have Ernie go ahead. So, resolution 2641. Contesting unlawful actions by the Alaska Board of Fisheries and at the February 2026 meeting that effectively end the South Alaska Peninsula's Fishermen's Adaptive Management Program proven to conserve chum salmon. And then if you want to go ahead.
Well, quickly go through the memo that precedes the resolution. It says 2022 area and salmon fishermen have participated in an adaptive management program. There was a meeting earlier this month or February to talk about salmon issues, and we've all fully participated in the meeting, attending, testifying, and otherwise advocating. There were, during the meeting, tribal entities that brought to light conflicts of interest by several board members in RC-004, and then again, especially on Board Member Chamberlain in RC-139. There were two votes of concern, especially on Proposal 126, and then again on Proposal 127 through RC-245, that severely restricts South Peninsula salmon fisheries by time and area, and effectively ending that successful chum conservation and adaptive management program. And if Member Chamberlain had been recused, those votes would have failed. So this basically, there was a press release on the Friday following the meeting, and it called for these three things: for the attorneys general to act on the formal ethics complaint that was filed on February 23rd, for the Alaska legislature to examine the Board of Fisheries appointment and ethics process, and for the Board of Fisheries to take no further actions on area and fisheries until the conflict of interest question has been fully resolved. And we recommend passage of this resolution.
Okay, thank you. Any comments on resolution 2641? Hearing done. Question on the motion?
Brendan?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Bonk?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Abstain.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have resolution 2624. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
2642.
What did I say?
24.
I'll make that motion, Glenn.
I'll this second is Brenda, I'll Chris. Second.
Brenda can second it.
Okay. So, Annie.
Yes, Mayor Ashbeck, resolution 2642 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute contracts for legal and public relation services for fishery issues. As you know, the Board of Fish meeting for the Alaska Penn and Aleutian Island Chicknick Finfish meetings were in Anchorage from February 18th to the 25th of 2026. At that meeting, there were two formal conflicts, or two formal conflicts of interest complaints were entered in the meeting record, which the board failed to acknowledge, and the borough adopted a suite of regulations that substantially reduced commercial fishing opportunities in Area M and dismantled an adaptive management plan program that was utilized by the Area M fishermen. Based off this, we think it's in the best interest of the borough to enter into two separate contracts. It would be for legal and one for public relations services to address the issues. This would be authorized in an amount not to exceed $300,000 for both contracts. Thank you.
Okay. Any comments? Hearing none.
The question.
Questions?
There was a question.
Balls.
Oh, go ahead, Paul.
Yeah. Any of this? Here's a look on a time scale that kind of short term action to a continuing problem. But I guess what I would ask is, we had a financial meeting or next meeting, kind of where we are with how shaping up for this fits in our budget, and we, if we're going to have to amend our budget to this end of this fiscal year.
So I should add, and I guess I did not put that in here. We do not have to amend our budget. This will come out of project contingency, and there's enough funds where I feel confident with the $300,000 level. If we go on past that, then we'll have to figure stuff out, but I'm confident, and it will come out of the project contingency line item.
Don't see any problems updating us at next meeting.
We will give you what we can.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that myself. Let's see how we're doing. Thank you.
Yep.
Other comments? Question on the motion?
Jim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Yep. Forest is resolution 2643. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
Make a motion. It's Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
It's Brenda.
Annie.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. Resolution 2643 accepts the basic financial statements, required supplementary information. Supplementary information and single audit reports for year ended June 30, 2025. In the packet or earlier today, Joy Mariner from BDO came and presented the audit. We, as stated, hired BDO to audit our financials, and that went through great. I got to give a huge thank you to Sewer and Jackie for all the work that they did to get this through. As mentioned, there were five grants that were audited, three federal grants and two state grants, which is a lot of work. And we came out with a completely clean audit, which is we would have gotten last year, got submitted in time, but we didn't. I think this is the first time that I can recall that it's been 100% clean. And with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thanks.
Question on the motion.
Warren?
Yes.
Ben?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, and a massive thank you.
Chris?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So, Jackie, you kind of reached the pinnacle. I don't know where. Very good job. So, resolution 2644 is before us. We need a motion and a second to bring it to the floor.
I'll make a motion.
You need a second?
Yeah, a moment.
I'll second.
Okay, Annie.
All right, Mayor Osberg, and Assembly Resolution 2644 authorizes the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dell for Sandpoint School re-roof design in an amount not to exceed $254,185. During the Sandpoint School deed project that's currently underway, it was identified that the roof at the Sandpoint School needs to be replaced in the next few years. Borough administration did request a proposal to conduct the design work for this, which would be the first step. Dell has provided the scope of work, which is in the packet for this and the fee proposal. And this would include phase one, which is 65% design developments, which would be $102,194 lump sum portion of the contract. This would seek the replacement of the existing metal roof, replacing the roof penetrations and roof curbs, as well as numerous other things outlined there in the bullets. And then phase two would be 100% construction documents, which is $118,201 for a lump sum. And this will progress the design to final design and prepare the construction documents that would be used for construction. Phase three is design services not in the scope, kind of like a contingencies fund, which would be in the amount of $33,790. That's a time and materials. And I had some massive typos this time, but due to the nature of this project and the unknowns that we're facing currently with the Sandpoint deed project, we just have a cushion in there for some administrative needs. Funds are available in 21502, which is the deferred maintenance account for this. And as I kind of mentioned yesterday at the strategic planning, we've got a lot of maintenance in the borough that needs to be done, a lot of deferred maintenance, and we're investing in this school a lot of money, and the roof is a serious problem. And this is just phase one. We're going to try to do everything to meet deed standards so we can go and ask for funding from the state for this work, but we have to have the design done so we can get that to construction and on our list. This will be extremely expensive once we do the roof. I anticipate it to be about $2.5 million. It's very expensive. So this will help us break it into phases. We might have to do the elementary wing and then do the high school wing and then do the rest. And this will help us figure that out and figure out what's the most critical portions. And then there's other schools like the False Pass School that will be coming down the road that also needs a new roof. But this is phase one here. And with that, I do recommend approval. And if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions for Annie? Paul?
Pretty sure you weren't on the roof, but who, where did the info come that the roof needs?
So it came from UIC Construction, who's currently doing some minor roof repairs for us, because it turns out there's like sections where there's like seven pieces of missing plywood and nothing over it, which is why it's leaking, which we found out as we've been doing the work, like as they've been working on stuff, that this is popping up, right? Like we wouldn't know that until we dig into the building. So they're seeing that kind of stuff. We're doing temporary repairs on that now, just so it stops leaking, the immediate leak. But they saw it, and then when Dal and ECI were out there doing the inspection, like a recent inspection of the school, they had a drone, and they droned the building, and you can like zoom in, and you can see the holes and the penetration spots throughout the whole roof, and it's not good, it's not in good shape.
Looking for old people here, a few of you.
We had Ernie.
A few years ago, we re-roofed that school in-house. But do we have any? I'd like to kind of find that info and see how much we spend when we did it ourselves. It seems exceptionally high numbers, and just for engineering in particular, I can put a re-roof all the time, point for $200,000, I think.
Well, I'm
very comfortable about it. Thank you.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, the cost of everything right now is astronomically high. Any sort of lumber, any sort of metal, you name it, it's very expensive. And then, of course, you've got the shipping aspect, which is also extremely expensive. So, I actually think 2.5 might not be high enough, to be honest. based off all the construction we've done recently. I'm just telling you that's my opinion. Of course, I don't have, like, part of this would be like a more of like an in-detailed probably cost analysis, but it's really expensive. I can look for those documents. They're probably in a box somewhere that I'll have to find it though, but we can try to find that. But anyway, I just to be clear, everything right now is expensive. So yes, it seems like a lot, but it's just the reality of the construction world right now.
I have a question. Is it a fabric roof?
I don't know. Well, right now it says replacing the existing metal roof.
Yeah. I guess, and my other question is, I mean, I support, you know, the maintenance on our buildings and our schools and everything, but is there ever going to be light at the end of the tunnel?
I hope so. And
are we having an outfit that's taking advantage of us? I mean,
well, that's part of what we're worried about.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope that wouldn't be the fact, but you know, it's almost like when you take your car to a repair shop, you know, and oh, by the way, we changed the starter. We had to change the radiator too. It was bad, you know. I mean, are they looking, you know, that's kind of what I'm a little worried about, because it seems like every time they dig into something, we're back at the table saying, well, this is going to be another $300,000. This is going to be another $400,000. But eventually it's going to end. And I'm happy that we're looking at other places to get money, and we do have money in other places. And I know it's, you know, it's far cheaper than if we were to build a new school. I understand that. But I just, you know, I get a little leery sometimes on some of these contractors and, you know, these guys live out in, you know, out in remote Alaska, you know, what are they going to do? You know? Yeah.
So I totally understand your concern. However, if you go back to the 2018 condition assessment, it said that the roof lasted for 5 to 10 years, and we are now almost 5 to 10 years there. So it was already assessed back in 2018, and times progressed, and we are at that point. This isn't going to happen right away. I mean, we got to do the design first, then we're going to apply for funding, and then we're going to have to figure out how we're funding it in general. And it probably be broken up into phases, just because I can't think of any other way to do it. But I do understand your concern. I don't think that's a problem here personally, but if you look back at that condition assessment, roof replacement was on there, and 2018, and it's already 2026, we're there.
And I understand that, you know, and the elements out where we live are a lot harsher, you know, and things too. I'm just, you know, I just hope we don't have somebody out there that's just, you know, well, this guy's got money, and I'll just keep telling this is wrong.
This has to go out to bid.
Yeah.
This is not a continuation of this.
Well, I mean, this part won't go out to bid, but the actual construction will go out to bid.
Right.
Just want to add a comment. I work up at a school a bit, but both wings leak. They've been leaking for a few years. So, I mean, there is issues up there. The dowel thing always gets me. That's the part that you're alluding to, too. It's just like, man, they are cleaning house on us. I know the job's going to be very expensive, and I agree with you. I think it's going to be more than 2 point whatever. So.
I mean, it was an electrical problem. Then it was doored.
But the roof is leaking.
You know, I found out when they started working on the roof, the part that was in this project, the maintenance guy came down and said, do you know there was 7 sheets of plywood that were never put on?
It's crazy.
It's like,
well, when they redid King Coast School, all the plumbing, I went up a couple times and talked to those guys, and those guys showed me stuff that they were like, I don't even understand why they even put this in there, or look, they never even put this in there. So it's just, yeah, there's shoddy work done too when it's being built too.
And just to add, one of the goals and on the strategic plan is maintenance and trying to prioritize the borough's needs and what we need to do. We have the False Pass School that we're looking at replacing or rehabilitating. I'm kind of off topic here, sorry, but we have to go through and prioritize. The roof, in my opinion, is a priority. Like, oh, yeah. We can't have a roof fail in any of the schools. But we've got to go through and prioritize. I think we are progressively addressing the major issues, boilers, stuff like that. But unfortunately, these buildings are just flat out old, and we didn't do the proper maintenance from the beginning. And here we are, which is why with the Cold Bay Terminal, I'm trying to stay up on it so we don't have this problem 10 years, 20 years from now. And somebody's like, what the hell were they doing? Excuse my language. But what were they doing? And what were they thinking? And why didn't they maintain it? We're trying to curb that. And that, of course, is the newest building in the borough, but that the borough owns. But I think we just have to prioritize that. But this, and this is a pretty top priority. We got to fix the roof.
Oh, yeah. What was that last thing you said? Basketball game?
Yes. No, everybody wants to go. So.
I'm sorry.
All right, I'm done.
I understand everybody's concerned, but even one time I even went past Annie. I said, so, Dow, are they your relatives? So she knew I was looking at this. But anyway. So. Questions called.
Can't hear.
Score is 6-12. But
any with discussion on the school. Yeah, I can see. Yeah, designing a new school is one thing. New school roof. Just replacing the metal and some wood on an existing roof. I feel a lot more comfortable if we went out the bid for a design engineer and designing. So maybe we get a better roof on them too, but right now it's too much money and it's uncomfortable. Sole source, it is very comfortable.
All the questions.
Questions been called.
This is Brenda. I have a quick question. So this is just voting on the Dell contract, right? Not on the re-roof design of things. Okay, because I'm getting the impression people are voting on the whole contract that's going to fix all of this later on the roof, but this is just for the scope of practice. So, all right, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Question. Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Brenda?
Yes.
Glenn?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We are down to old business, Sandpoint Swimming Pool update.
Every meeting, if there's information to provide about the pool, I'm going to put it in the packet. But basically, originally on February 12th, right after the assembly meeting, we executed one contract in the amount of $927,000. After the surety underwriter reviewed the contract, they requested that our attorney rewrite it and it break it into three separate contracts, which took a little while for us to do. But we have now entered into three separate contracts with Sandpoint Marine. Those were executed on February 25th. So we have phase one, which is currently underway. And I think that goes through the end of May. I don't have that written down here, but I think that goes through the end of May. And the scope of services for the entire project are listed here on the second page of the memo. Then on February 27th, the borough was informed that we had to fill out an assignment of contract funds and consent document, which I went through. I had to make quite a few crossouts and changes, but we got that executed as well. And then we were able to conduct the first wire transfer on March 2nd to the escrow company in the amount of $309,000. And then since this has been written, I did go into the State of Alaska Labor Standards and Safety application portal and entered the project in there for the prevailing wages. So I just wanted to give you guys an update of where this project was. Thanks.
Okay. Any question? Paul?
I found out one that I couldn't be the first staff and who the mayor working on not in this pool. Thank you.
Yeah, are you sleeping better now?
You said you were waking up at 5 in the morning.
Yes.
You have a morning of ideas.
I woke up at midnight last night and I've been up ever since then.
Yeah. That's that coffee you were drinking. You know that, don't you?
Okay. That's an update. So,
we want to call the question.
New business. Strategic plan quarterly review.
Yeah, so I just have the quarter four strategic plan in here. I had a memo, but I don't see it. But anyways, This is just in here for your review. We went over the strategic plan yesterday. Quarter four was ended on February 28th, 2026. And as of yesterday, we will begin our new plan, which we'll finalize and bring to the assembly for approval, hopefully at the April meeting. But this is just in here for your education.
That's it?
Yep.
Okay. So, questions on the quarterly report? Being done. We are down to reports and updates. Annie.
All right. So my report is in the packet. Just a few highlights on the Cole Bay dock. I did submit on behalf of the borough per direction at a meeting to provide a comment regarding the wave barrier and the preferred alternative design on March 3rd. I did receive a response from DOT, which is included here in the packet for you. But basically, at this time, a breakwater is not technically feasible. The estimated cost is about $18 million to conduct that, and they don't have the funding at this time. But they said that since it's not part of the design at this time, we'll take note of your comment for future planning efforts. So I did receive a response, and that's in here for your review. The Sandpoint Harbor project, now that all these meetings are finished, I'm going to re-engage on that. I've got some correspondence with the State of Alaska Harbor Facility Grant person on purchasing that portable unit, and we'll get that done next week. I just need to call her and we'll get that purchased as well. I'm going to skip the Sandpoint project. False Pass School, we've got the False Pass dry valve replacement and fire suppression, where Chinook Fire should be going out there soon. And I also have Cool Air Mechanical, who should have already been on site, but I need to follow up on that as well. And then other than that, I guess there's just some King Cove litigation update, which is proceeding in accordance with the court-approved case management plan. Our attorney received the briefs from the Friends of Alaska National Wildlife Refuge, Hooper Bay, which is represented by the Center for Biological Diversity and the Defenders of Wildlife. Those briefs generally contend that the land exchange is illegal for a multitude of reasons and should be vacated. Our attorney is analyzing the legal arguments raised by these ENGOs and is preparing the single opposition brief opposing them. That brief is due March 23rd, so in just a few weeks for that. So just a brief update on that. And then we will have our regular meeting in April. And then the plan is to have two May meetings for the budget. So I have May 14th, which is the regular day. And then 2 weeks later would be the special assembly meeting for approval. And there's no meeting in June. So just keep that on your radar. We'll have two meetings in May.
Reason there won't be a meeting in June is because we're all going to be fishing.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So, any questions for Annie? No? Lenora?
Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. My report is in the packet, and I'll start off with the APRA training and inspections. So, earlier this month, I received an action plan from the borough's APRA consultant to follow and track the progress of completing items identified in the inspection reports that we have to do annually for our properties. I got that returned on March 4th with everything addressed, which was great. There was only 5 things we had to do, all very minor. And we received full credit for this section. And then more progress has been made with the training hours that staff need to make, so that's great. March is worth, like, March training madness they're doing. Whoever logs the most training in March, you can get an extra $500 towards our safety savings account, which we can use to purchase safety equipment, which is neat. Moving on to DeepTree, there was an upgrade from Windows 10 to 11 that has been completed on most devices. There is an issue getting some upgraded, but we'll get that sorted out and scheduled later. The King Cove office now has Teams phones. Jackie and Sigrid both have new phone numbers, and we also have a 1-800 number that residents of King Cove can use, so they don't have to, incur long distance charges if they don't have that already on a phone plan. So that's great. And then I'm working with IT right now. When I wrote this, I was working with IT to get items recycled from our surplus last month. They came and picked up everything earlier this week, which is great. And then EAS, we sent the letter out to 22 different organizations, including the borough, back in February, and I received it back on March 5th with all of the signatures, which was amazing. We got that sent over to USDOT and the Alaska delegation. Ocean Airways has been made aware of this request, and our next step is to meet with them and our DC lobbyist. I haven't set a date on that meeting yet, but it will happen fairly soon. And then there are currently three processing plants in the region that would like to send in a letter of support as well. All of those processing plants are located in Unalaska. So I guess not technically the borough region, but the Aleutian region. Community support grant for the Sandpoint Pool. Getting a meeting scheduled for later this month. They would like to meet with Annie and I and someone else to go over the financials, so maybe Jackie. We don't have a date set in stone yet, but it needs to happen later this month. And then some few other items. I attended Swampsea and Borefisha's sports staff. I handed out some borough jackets today for the assembly members who are here. And then I do have about three in the loop article ideas floating around. I'll hopefully get working on those this month as well. That's it. If anyone has any questions, please let me know.
Questions, regular? Yeah. Okay.
Didn't say area on the back.
Ernie.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly, the whole first page of my report is about board fisheries. I don't mean to harp on it, but I think it's important to get on the record. So there is a link to the preliminary summary of actions and the two assertions by the local tribes on conflicts of interest. The first bad proposal was proposal 126 by a vote of 4-3 that would move the majority of the Dolgoi Islands area, which goes from Deer Island near King Cove to Unga Island near Sand Point, and add it to the Southeast District Mainland Management Plan. And the last, out of the last 10 years, 7 years, it wouldn't have opened. Not great. And then the second bad one by a vote of 4-3 was proposal 127. By RC 245, which reduces fishing periods and extends close periods in June for seine, drift, and setnik gear, if it's open by emergency order. There were some king salmon conservation measures in June. Well, no, I guess the whole season, we allowed seiners to release, in fact, actually forced to release king salmon. And then there are some bad things that happen if an area harvests more than 1,000 kings beginning in July 1. And then Chignik has some restrictions as well on kings. There were some gear modifications beginning in 2027. We'll have to reduce gillnet depth and seine depth. The North Peninsula camp got some things they wanted, possible opening of caribou flats and getting rid of some sunsetted language. Subsistence for Unalaska, 365, 24/7 subsistence salmon fishing. Sport proposal 156 about king salmon and trout, including in the Sandy River. And we got a couple herring proposals. But in addition to those, we still have the Chignik early run stock of concern. That means if they don't meet escapement, they Shumagin Island section will be cut in half for starting with the second opening. So that shouldn't happen, but it also happened. Next week is the statewide finfish meeting where we are concerned with some anti-trawling proposals. North Pacific Council. We sent a letter of support. The mayor signed a letter of support for Rudy Sakata, who is the only member from Alaska who is up for reappointment. And that reappointment should be announced by the 15th. And there's some things going on to council, but the next council meeting doesn't start until June. And then it was like Lucy pulling the football away with the Alaska Peninsula oil and gas lease sale. Finally, we got one bidder, and there's a picture of the one lease sale. Teresa Gouch was the apparent high bidder. The minimum bid is $5 for 160 acres. So she paid $800, and you get 10 years to drill or whatever. Anyway.
Well, was that like, where was that?
Way up 40 miles west of
Parksville.
Yeah.
Nobody knows your ass.
Way up there.
Out of Billingham, the next one.
Glenn, I think it's on Red Bluff.
And there's some meetings listed, and I can take any questions. Thanks.
Questions for Ernie?
Thank you, Mayor Osterbeck and Assembly. You have my report in the packet. I don't have any major cod tagging updates at this time. Kind of plugging away and writing. For the acoustic telemetry project, we've placed an order for some more anchor chain and replacement equipment so that we can redeploy the moorings. And one of my co-PIs at NOAA is handling all the logistics because the Sea Venture is actually in Seattle right now, which is really helpful. They're going to take some of the chain back up for us and some of the replacement batteries, which are very difficult to ship. So that's kind of nice. We don't have to pay for shipping. And we're tentatively making plans to finish up field work in mid-May. For the salmon tagging project, I submitted public comments and an RC to the Board of Fish regarding our progress on the tagging. I'm back working on the manuscript and potentially looking for external funding. I don't know yet. I think we need to have a bigger conversation about what we want to do. And my hope is to consult actually next week with the department's research staff to kind of understand their priorities for salmon research and how some of our priorities might align with theirs in the future and could support some of the gaps they see. The fish and game geneticist Tyler Dan gave me a brief update that our genetic samples from our pilot project are being processed. So hopefully we're going to have some genetic results on our tagged and non-tagged fish in the next couple of weeks, which is very exciting. Board of Fish, we were all there. I won't go into that, but I will say that given the Board of Fish action to restrict time, area, and gear, it's going to be practically impossible to continue running the adaptive management plan. Technically, the Seiners Association was made the owner of the data portal, but we need to have ongoing conversations about if and how it can be used going forward and kind of set up some maintenance with the software engineer to make sure it's still going to be active and can be used in case you need it. The tagging study did generate a lot of significant discussion at the meeting, and I do think that it demonstrated for those who were willing to listen how new data can be used to inform regulations, especially around gear and non-retention. Ultimately, a lot of this was disregarded in favor of more blunt restrictions. The March Board of Fish meeting is taking place next week. They have several proposals of concern and many which overlap with Senate Bill 161. Proposal 163 seeks to redefine all trawl as bottom trawl. Proposal 164 seeks to require verification and compliance monitoring for enforcement to be approved as a pelagic vessel. So you have to get prior approval to become a pelagic vessel by proving that you don't touch the bottom. And Proposal 165 seeks to mandate salmon excluders on all vessels. We submitted public comments highlighting our concerns that the under 58 and under fleet in our region is heavily reliant on the state waters. Via the parallel fisheries. In fact, we're probably like the most reliant on it. The requirements in the proposals either do not exist yet, like the technology required for verification doesn't exist yet, or is completely untested on small vessels, such as salmon excluders. I think there's a lot of research on large vessels, but a lot less on small vessels. And because of horsepower differences and, net size, there's just a lot of concerns about mandating salmon excluders, although many vessels will opt to use them anyway. And none of these proposals acknowledge this or have any strategy for accommodating small vessel fleet. And much of what is proposed is either not feasible, legal, or affordable by the Department of Fish and Game. Also, for Senate Bill 161, it was scheduled at Senate Resources on March 4th. I was asked to attend as invited testimony, which I provided along with the Alaska Whitefish Trawlers from Kodiak and PSPA. Similar to my comment for the Board of Fish meeting, I discussed our concerns about closing state waters for the local trawl fleet and the disproportionate negative impacts it would have for our boats. And there's a link to my testimony. Happy to take any questions.
Questions for Scarlett?
This was put up in the adoption next week. There's three fall proposals. And we sort of do hope we see the number that move on for the sports fishing interest.
An AMC.
An ALP or something. So anyway, let's help clarify what the intent was in fall.
Others? Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Can I just note that Charlotte's work around the Board of Fish has been extraordinary? I just want to put that on the record.
They tried to steal it.
Yeah.
That one here made me cry.
No clapping allowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any year.
Earth's environment.
Worst girl in life.
Oh, oops. I'll shut that down.
No, she did a very good job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we are down to assembly comment. Chris?
I just have one, and I talked to Annie a little bit.
You're limited to 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I trust me. I want to get out of here, too. I'm just a little concerned with the water situation in Cold Bay. Not Cold Bay, sorry. Nelson Lagoon, with that pipe freezing. And if there's any way that we can possibly reach out and help some way to help them engineer a better way to put that pipe down or whatever. I'm all for it. I mean, yeah. So that's all I got.
I didn't know anything about it until, was it yesterday? I think I called Annie and she never heard of it. And so when they were talking about it, I said, so did this just happen? They said, no, it happened in November. So I gave them, I talked to them some about who to contact and that type of thing. And that's the last I've heard of them so far, because we've been all been busy. So. Other comments?
I just, I'm excited about the fish issues, and please move forward as fast as you can.
Paul?
Just a quick update on, obviously some of you were able to make it, but as I've said in the workshop, Commissioner Fishing Game, representative from Kodiak spoke up publicly about the problems with the Border Fish and us. It sounds helpful. I'm forgiving so. Yeah, send the gubernatorial candidates for me.
Yeah.
And but it, next year comes along, and the more people can go, the better, but we do above average, I think.
Okay. Anybody else?
Oh, Sam.
I do just it's Tom here, if I may.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead. I want Charlotte on her good job she did there. Thank you for being there for us.
Everybody, it was the team. It was the whole team.
And somebody else out there.
Warren here. Oh. I just got to get a big thank you out to the young folks that testified. The school kids and the young fishermen that are trying to make it as a commercial fisherman in our area. We got to pat them young men on the back. It's tough to even think about trying to get into our fishery to fish, and with the buyers out here not being around, like it was before. We got one major buyer now, the way it looks. But anyway, to those young folks, my hat's off to them. We're all conditioned 40-year vets of the fish board process, but they're even making it tough for us now. We got to go into, do other things to make things work. Everybody, I want to thank everybody who participated as a board member of the borough.
Yeah. Thanks, Warren. And a shout out to the young ladies that got up and testified.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it was, I really have to commend everybody who went out there and actually went up and testified. We've had people sign up before and they just got too scared and couldn't do it. So to see the majority of the people who signed up did go testify was, it was really amazing. And they all had such good points. And it really, you know what, we're doing a good job. We've got good young people out there. We just got to keep them busy. So I think they got to see a side of what we do for their fishery to help them have a fishery. Some of them went off with open eyes, I think.
Yeah. I think we had somebody else on the flat screen people.
Oh, yeah, it was me. I was just going to give a little update. I feel like we didn't really get the word out so much because we've just kind of been dealing with it, like, as a village with the water issue and just been really busy, you know, with trips and everything. But right now, we are looking at probably less than a week of water. But Angela, our president, has reached out to ANTHC, has been working with them on getting some new transfer pipe out here so that they can repair what we have to get it flowing whenever it does decide to warm up enough to be able to pump water. We're still in the talks of trying to get a new holding tank out here, but who knows when that'll happen. The tribe has been purchasing cases of bottled water for households. And I do got to say the village has been very, very good at conserving water within the last month. So we're pretty prepared to run out. You know, we've got a game plan for, you know, getting totes of water from the low spot of the water lake and helping distribute to, you know, elders and all the community members. So we've got a plan and we're definitely working on it. So, but thank you for the concern. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. And keep us informed, you know, maybe have somebody work with Lenora or Annie on updates. Annie?
Well, this isn't really appropriate for me to talk right now during the assembly comments, but Sam, there's $35,000 in that we have available for you guys for municipal facility repairs. So if you need money, there's $35,000 sitting there that this would work perfectly. So that's there. Just wanted to remind
you. Okay. Thank you.
I think it's appropriate. I think you even ran a meeting one. Any other comments?
Jim. I'd like to thank the mayor and administration for their ability to manage the finances as well as they do. Getting us on track. Thanks.
Yeah, it's been a goal, I'll tell you. Okay. If there's no other comment from the assembly, I want to appreciate everybody that made it out here. And I think we've been doing this planning session for 7 years, and this is the first year that people couldn't make it. And so that's not good. So next year, the finance department has to make it.
next year, it's not Hawaii.
Yeah. There you go. But anyway, I really appreciate it. He's
kinkled.
Any public out there left that have comments? If not, our next meeting is April 9th. Motion to adjourn.
Big motion.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Awesome.